Good morning, everyone. Sorry to break up the chatter there, but it is 5:30. I'd just like to welcome everybody to church here this morning, and also those around in solid ground who are with us on the cameras. And also a special welcome to any visitors who might be joining with us here this morning. As the sun shines through the window, we just hope you felt the warmth of the welcome, as well as the warmth of the Spirit that's joining with us this morning. As I say, I just pray that you all feel God's presence this morning and know of his blessings both today and during the week ahead as we worship here together. And as every Sunday, there will be refreshments available around in solid ground, and you're more than welcome around for a cuppa and a chat. Now, if you bear with me this morning, we do have a few announcements here. We'll just work through them. First of all, last week it was announced, I think it was the last date for the organisational reports, but this week is definitely the final time for the organisational reports. So if you haven't got your report to Fiona yet, today would be definitely the final time to try to get it to her, please. That's been highlighted. Also on Tuesday coming, this Tuesday is the men's breakfast at 9:30 round in the halls. So if you're free on Tuesday and you're a man, obviously, and you fancy coming for your breakfast, you're more than welcome. And on that note as well, I have an announcement here about the rugby trip, which has been organised for the 25th of January up to watch Ulster playing Benetton. There is a few tickets still available, and if you have ordered a ticket for that, Brian has the tickets with him today. If you don't know Brian, he'll be around having a coffee and a couple of biscuits maybe after. Round at solid ground, so you can get your ticket off. And don't worry if you haven't your money today, as long as you get the ticket and he can take a note and you get them squared up after. But there is still a few tickets available, and there'll be a bus leaving from here on the Friday night as well for transport purposes. That's that one. And also on that note as well, in connection with the same sort of thing, Gift Aid, also Brian's connected with it. We're just trying to get through all the gift aid applications with the changeover with Clocky and Grey Abbey joining up. There's a few changes in terms of the forms and stuff. So we're trying to just get all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. So if you have anything outstanding to sort out for gift aid, we want to get the application in by the end of January. And it's a very good way of extra money coming in at a bit of extra administration work, but it does bring extra money in for the church. So if you can sort out, if you're unsure if you've anything to do, if you speak to Brian at any stage, and we'll try to get those forms all sorted out and put together. As I say, his contact details are in the announcements if you have a copy of the announcements. And on the note of money as well, there's a CAP course which is starting in February, 3 Monday nights in February. I know it's a very useful course, and there's a lot of work goes into putting it together. And if you fancy coming along to it, the details are in the announcements as well there. Let's see. I think that's us. The other announcement I have is for next Sunday evening, just to give you a wee heads up, the United service is in Ballywalter Church of Ireland at 6:30 next Sunday evening, and it's been led by Bobby Stevenson from Cardor. I think that is all the announcements we have this morning. I'd just like to join together, come to worship God this morning with a few verses from Psalms 86, verses 11 to 13. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the realm of the dead. Let us all stand up this morning and lift our voices with the words of the great hymn that is, How Great Thou Art. Thank you. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day you've freely given us. Thank you for the week we've just had. May we use today and the week ahead in your honour in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you, God, for every person here this morning. May their minds be stilled and their hearts be open to what you have to say to them this morning, Lord. Dear God, please be with your faithful servant David today as he opens your word, Lord. Please use him in a mighty and powerful way as he ministers to us later. May his words be your words, Lord. Thank you, God, for all the things we've just sang about, the woods, the forest glades, the birds singing sweetly in the trees, for the gentle breeze. But most of all, Lord, thank you for sending us your Son to take away our sins. Thank you, God, for showing us your love as we proclaim, my God, how great thou art. We also come to you this morning, Lord, just to say sorry for the times during the last week when we haven't made the right decisions in our lives. Please help us, Lord, and show us what your will is for us in the days and the weeks ahead. Help us walk closer to your path in the week ahead, Lord. As we look towards the week ahead, Lord, please put a new song in our mouths. Help us answer the deep cry in our hearts. Sustain us as we stand firm on the rock that is you, Lord. Help us to see that the old has gone, the new has come, and your love has lifted us up. Please, Lord, as we bow our heads this morning, help us to know of your presence and your grace, Lord. Please help us, give us the confidence that we can only come from knowing you as our Heavenly Father, from knowing that your name is the name above all names, the beginning and the end. It is only by your grace, which we have been so freely given, that we can live as your chosen people. Please be with us and guide us as we ask these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're going to stand again, folks, and give praise with "When I Was Lost, You Came and Rescued Me."
I've been
Always a relief to see the man who's going to do the sermon turning up. I'd just like to welcome David into the pulpit, David Murdy. For those of us who don't know, David's turned to be an accredited preacher. Yeah. As I say, he's been with us before, so I'd just like to hand over to him.
Good morning again. I just have to gather myself with all the bits and bobs. We just come to our reading this morning, which is from John chapter 8. We'll read from verses 12 to 20. And I think that is on... You've probably got it before I read this out. Page 1073 of the Pew Bibles. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. Let us hear the word of God. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May God bless to our understanding this reading from his word. We have a little change. Just if the children, young people want to come up to the front, I will come down and speak with them briefly before you go out to your church. So if you want to come down and talk to me, that would be great. This is a little bit different this morning, but just for 1 week, I think. The more, you might need to spread out a bit. There are lots of you. Great. Oh, a few more. Now, I don't know if you were maybe listening carefully to the Bible reading we had, but near the start of it, Jesus said something about himself. He said something. He says, "I am." Can you remember what he said? What he said he was? Hmm. No, you don't know. Well, maybe let me give you a... Yeah, but he said something very specific. He said, I am... He didn't quite say that, but let me give you a clue. I have something with me this morning. It's a torch. Now, what is that? That's a light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said that anyone who follows him will never walk in darkness. Have you ever had to get up when it's really dark or go outside when it's really dark? Yeah. And do you then switch the light on to see what's happening or hope that there are lights so that you can see what's happening? Sometimes I get up at nighttime and I'll try to be very brave and not put the light on. But of course, what happens when I try to walk across the room when it's dark and there are no lights on? What do you think happens? Well, I can fall sometimes or I'll bump into something as I go across. So we have things like the lights and we have torches which help us to see where we're going. So a light can give us, the torch can give us a light and it can guide us along so that we can see where we're going. I've got some other lights as well with me. I'm a bit of a torch fanatic. So I have this one. This one's really funny because it has a little bit in the end that lights up as well, like that. And it has another light that flashes and can warn people that you're there. So there's lots on this light. But I have a couple of other ones as well. And you say, what I might use these for? Yeah, bicycle, nice bright light. And there's another one. And where would you put that on the back, do you think? On the back. So, and we use these lights sometimes on the back, not just to help us to see where we're going, but also to help to keep us safe because it lets other people see us. And that means that we can stay safe and be protected with them. So light can help us to see where we're going, and light can help to keep us safe. And also we need lights. We have lights in here because it helps us to do the things that we like to do. And the things you would like, if you're doing something at home, what's some of the things you really like to do? You like to watch TV, play your tablet, play football. Well, you need light to do those things. So the things that you like to do and that you have to do, things need light to help you to do those. So Jesus says that he is the light of the world. So Jesus is actually the light of the world, and he shows us the way to God. And he shows us what God has done for us and how he loves us. So Jesus is the light of the world, and when we look to him and follow him, he gives us his light so that we can see how to go to God, we can see God, and he also protects us, keeps us safe, and it means that he's shown us his love. So Jesus is the light of the world. Now I have one more torch. I told you I was a bit of a torch fanatic here. I have one more, and I want you to have a look at this one. And I'm not going to put it on my head, but it goes on your head, and so you can keep your hands free. But I'm going to switch this on, and can someone see? You don't need to look directly into it, but what can you see in there? It's one light, but what else do you see? There's lots of lights. There are other lights. There's four lights. It's one light, but four little lights. And if I press another button, what happens? It gets brighter, and there are other lights come on. And the last one I do, and there are more lights come on. So it's one light, but there are lots of little lights in there. And the other thing that Jesus says to us is that we are to be lights. We are to shine for him. So we have our own little light to shine. We have to live as lights for him. And when we do our part and each of us shine for him and do good things and help others and care for other people and be kind. And when we tell other people about Jesus, that means we are shining our light. And we do our bit, and everybody else does their bit in sharing the light. And when we all do that, Jesus' light gets brighter. So we have our little light to shine in the world for Jesus, because he is the light of the world, and he shows us the way to God. No. But we're going to sing about shining lights just now. And we're going to sing this little light of mine. And it's going to remind you, when you see a torch like that and you see the little light, let that be a reminder that you can shine for Jesus along with everybody else. And you remember this song that we sing, which is your song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Thank you. There are maybe some budding guitar players in amongst the group there as well. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? With gladness, let us present the offerings of our life and labor to God. Your offering will be received. O God, all that we have is given by you. Of your blessing to us, we make these offerings. May they be used to let your light shine in this place and further afield. All for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom, in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, in our prayers for others, we will pray for political and church leaders, and we'll also bring before God those who are known to us and for whom we are concerned. And we'll conclude with a prayer which is being read out in most of the congregations on the peninsula this week as part of the lead up to our United service, which will take place next Sunday. Let us join our hearts to offer our prayers to God. Almighty God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Though we are weak and faltering in our prayers, you hear us and understand our requests. We praise you for the Holy Spirit's power and wisdom to help us bring our prayers to you. And we pray for political and church leaders as they grapple with issues and make decisions which affect the lives of so many people. Grant them wisdom and compassion in all their discussions and deliberations. And may the decisions made enable people and communities to flourish and thrive. We pray particularly for politicians who will be discussing and voting this week in relation to Brexit. We pray for Christians in positions of leadership that they would be aware of your presence with them and in the work they do. Strengthen them and enable them to bring your influence to bear in the places of power so that people would be governed and led well and that your kingdom would grow. We remember your persecuted church across the world and ask that you would bring encouragement and protection to those suffering for your name. Loving God, we pray for those known to us who are in need of your comfort and healing. In a moment of silence, we bring them before you. Help your people in this place to grow in faithfulness and wisdom. May the fruit of your Spirit be evident in all we do, so that we may proclaim your name and bring others to faith in you. Father of all, we bring our prayer for unity. You have created your children as diverse, unique, colorful and gifted people. You love and cherish each one of us individually, and your heart's desire is that we should be one with you and each other. Forgive us, Lord, when we allow insecurity and fear to highlight differences between us so that we no longer see all people as your beloved creation. Forgive us, Lord, when our needs become so important that we no longer see the needs of others. Forgive us, Lord, when our hearts become so hardened that we fail to give your hope to those who desperately need it. Help us to put aside all fear, selfishness, and unforgiveness that would seek to destroy our unity with one another in this country. Help us to love one another as Jesus loves us, so that we will look to encourage and build up people in our land. May your love pour through us, bringing peace, mercy, and hope to all we meet. May this nation be transformed by the redeeming, unifying love of God. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. O Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. As we come to reflect on God's word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in his sight. Amen. The Iona community, based in Scotland, provides a great range of helpful resources for churches and individuals. This year, I quite like the things that they produce. I think they're really thought-provoking and inspiring. And this year, their Easter program at the Islands Abbey is entitled From Darkness to Dawn. And a similar theme, darkness to light, could be the title for our reflections on this morning's reading. Transparency and openness are words we hear a lot of today. There is so much interest in finding out what lies behind decisions and events in our world. And it's so easy to access volumes of information with the internet, social media, communication, instant communication across the world. There seems to be an insatiable demand for even more information. And at the beginning of each year, the government releases papers from 30 years before. They're open to the public, and there's always a great interest in seeing what has gone on in the inner circles of political power and decision making. We're curious to find out what is going on. In the past months, we have seen results of inquiries into the conduct of members of parliament, and there have been investigations into the renewable heating scheme and other historical events. We are looking for the truth, or perhaps the truth that we want, about injustices or things that we perceive to be important. We want the light to be shone into the dark corners. There are many good things happening in the world, but we don't have to look too hard to realize that there is darkness. Pain, suffering, wickedness, lies, deceit. And in our own lives, we will know that too. There are things which we hide away, those thoughts and actions that we don't want anyone to know about, or the pain that we carry. We live in a world of darkness, suffering, and sin. Light and darkness is a theme running through Scripture. In Psalm 27, we read the beautiful words, "God is my light and my salvation." We had that as part of our call to worship in Clocky this morning. God is my light and my salvation. And the psalmist also paints the picture of God wrapping himself in light, the splendor of our God. And in John chapter 8, the passage we read of Jesus' declaration that he is the light of the world. It's helpful to have a look at just some of the background to that particular encounter in John's Gospel. It takes place during the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus had come to Jerusalem at the time of the feast, and he had been teaching in the temple. The feast was a Jewish celebration of harvest. It commemorated the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land. It was a time when they would give thanks for God's provision in the wilderness and for the productivity of Canaan. Light, along with water, was an important aspect of the commemoration. Then, remembering the journey through the wilderness, the people would recall that God had guided them by day and night. He was present with them in the fiery pillar. In the wilderness, God was present with them in the light. He guided them, he shielded them, and he showed something of his glory. Bruce Milne's Bible commentator and writer says that during the festival, the people would give thanks, but they also looked forward to the day when God's Spirit would be poured out at the coming of the kingdom of God. And in this context, in this festival, in this place, Jesus declared that he is the light of the world, and that whoever followed him would never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. His declaration was highly charged. Leslie Newbegin, a theologian and author, describes it as being of cosmic significance. Cosmic significance. As Jesus was declaring he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming age, when God himself would be his people's light. And the full impact of Jesus' claims wouldn't have been lost on those who were listening to him. And we see by the reaction of the Pharisees that it wasn't something that they would accept. They weren't going to let him get away with making those claims. Who does he think he is? This man from the country up in Galilee. And so they challenge him about his testimony. But Jesus answers them. He is qualified to say what he has said because he is the truth. And he knows where he has come from. He has come from God. And he adds fuel to the fire, so to speak, by saying that his Father would also testify on his behalf. We're not surprised that the Pharisees were outraged by Jesus' claims, and they confront him. The Pharisees were the experts of the law, and Jesus challenges their thinking and their position. The Pharisees and the Jewish leaders were resistant. They had developed their system of religion, and it didn't allow for anyone to challenge them. Certainly not Jesus coming with the claim to be the light of the world. And amongst the ordinary people, there was a range of opinion. The people were divided. Some said Jesus was a good man. Some thought he was a prophet. Some thought that he was the Christ. But others said he deceived the people, and they wanted him arrested. Throughout the gospel stories, we see Jesus' encounters with people, and always the reactions vary. Is this not the same today? And even amongst us listening, there are those who will reject him, those who say, that's very interesting, we'll maybe explore that further or get some more information. And there are those who accept his message, trust him and follow him. What is your response? You see, Jesus always demands a response. His claims demanded a response from his original hearers, and they demand a response from each one of us. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, puts it like this. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. And Lewis adds that we shouldn't come with, in his words, any patronizing nonsense about Jesus being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. The Pharisees and religious leaders had their hearts and minds set against Jesus. But there was one of them, Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus secretly by night to speak with Jesus. He was a teacher of the Jews. In fact, Jesus calls him the teacher of the Jews. So he was pretty well high up in the hierarchy. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again, be spiritually reborn to enter the kingdom of God. Without this spiritual birth, a person can't enter the kingdom of God. And this new birth is a wonderful gift from God. None of us deserves it, and none of us can earn it. Yet God offers it to us as a gift. And still people refuse to accept. John tells us that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. People choose darkness rather than light. You and I choose darkness rather than light. Light can be scary. It exposes things that maybe we would rather remain hidden. And it's tempting, maybe, to apply the idea of living in darkness to other people. Others live in darkness, and yet sidestep applying it to ourselves. A question for us is, are there things in our lives that belong to the darkness and we would rather remain hidden? But there's good news. And the good news is that we can bring this to God, who can forgive us and transform us with his grace. We have nothing to fear from God's light. It cleanses and purifies and is like a searchlight that shows the true motives for our deeds. In his light, we are transformed. For several weeks last summer, I expect some or many of you, like me, watched as the story unfolded about the team of young footballers and their coach trapped in the caves in Thailand. You might recall that. They were trapped and water was filling the cave system. It seemed an impossible task to find them, let alone rescue them, before the water levels in the caves rose to the point where they were cut off completely from any chance of rescue. It was a race against time. Then there was the great news that divers had found them. And listening to some of the reports, it was interesting that the rescuers said that they had brought them extra light. When the boys eventually emerged from the cave, they needed eye shades at first as they couldn't bear the light. And a grandfather of one of those boys said, "It's like they had died after going into the cave and now have been reborn." It would be absurd to contemplate that the trapped boys would refuse the gift of the rescue, to be freed from the darkness and danger. The courage of the divers and sacrifice of the divers and the trust of the boys in their rescuers brought about rebirth into the light. And there was great joy and celebration at their rescue, as you would expect. The relief, the just overwhelming joy that they had been in this pit and had been rescued. It's maybe difficult for us to put ourselves into that position, but you can, I think, imagine how joyful it would have been to have seen them rescued if you were close to them. Yet there are things which so prevent us from following Jesus when he offers us the gift of the light of life, of eternal life, and life in its fullness. Whether it be our pride, the things we are too ashamed to confess, our sense of weakness, or feeling of insignificance, whatever. But Jesus stands as our Savior, reaching out his hands to welcome us and lead us to him, to lead us out of the passageways and darkness that confine us and into his kingdom. Have you accepted his invitation? And what does accepting Jesus' gift mean for us? Jesus intends that his followers will reflect his light into the world and bring it to others. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says to his followers, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, he says, let your light shine, that people may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we don't hide the light. As followers of Jesus, we are given responsibility to bring his light to the world, to share the good news of forgiveness, reconciliation, and grace, to be kind, compassionate, loving, and caring, to bring healing and well-being into a damaged and hurting world. Over the past decade, there have been quite a few commemorations and celebrations, jubilees, associated with the royal family. At some of these events, beacons were lit across the country. And I remember being at a beacon lighting at a church up in Newton Ards. These beacons are signals to the community around. They are lit one after the other and join up to pass on the news or message from one hilltop or prominent place to another. In the same way, we are called to light the beacon, to join with others, to declare and pass on the good news of Christ, to point people towards him. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is facing trial, and he gives his testimony to the king, to King Agrippa. And Paul testifies that he was in darkness, opposed to Jesus. He persecuted the Christian believers. But he has encountered the risen Jesus and been transformed, changed. He physically and spiritually saw the light. He believed and was called to spread the good news of Jesus, to bring that light to Jews and Gentiles. And there are a couple of important lessons that we can learn from Paul's testimony. Paul was called to go through the region to preach and teach the gospel. You and I are to be light where God has placed us. Amongst our family, our community, our work colleagues, with those we meet and who see how we live. Around the kitchen table, at the gym, when we're out shopping, in all the places that we find ourselves. The children's song puts it really well. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world is darkness, so let us shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. Or as we sang earlier, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. So shine where God has placed you. The second thing from Paul's testimony I just want to pick up on is we are to rely on God. We are not perfect, so to keep our light shining, we need always to look to God for help. God will equip us with his Spirit to live for him and to shine his light into the world. We have to rely on God. With his grace, we will grow in how we live and serve him. And Paul recognized the value of prayers for him, and he continually prayed for the churches that he planted. He encouraged them to be faithful, to live righteous and holy lives as children of the light. So we need to pray for one another, for God's mercy and power to live for him. So shine where God has placed you, and rely totally on God, his guidance, and protection. He will sustain you. And why do we do these things? This is all to God's glory, so that others will praise him. We are not to be our own lights. Like the moon reflects the sunlight, we radiate God's light to the world around us. And it really is truly amazing when you try to contemplate it and get your head around it, that we have fellowship with God and believers across the world and across time in bringing his message of salvation to others. As you have believed in him and experienced his love, forgiveness, and grace, you will be compelled to share that with others. Why? To bring to them the light of life and to bring them into the embrace of the King. Jesus, the light of the world, has come. Have you accepted his invitation to leave the darkness and move into the wonderful light of sins forgiven, life transformed, and life in all its fullness? To shine his light in the world brings blessing to ourselves. It brings salvation to others. And above all, it brings praise and glory to God. So, rise and shine. Come into his kingdom of light and experience the joy of his presence. And as a citizen of his kingdom, let his light shine wherever God has placed you and amongst all those that you encounter, so that others will see the things that you do and the life you lead and be drawn to God and praise him. To God be the glory. Amen. And in response to the word of God, we sing our final hymn, words of which and also remind us that God's presence is our light. Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Love me all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best song, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence I like.
in darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy. Help us to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.